In the past few days, we have learned so many things about prayer. And sometimes we wonder, how can I remember all these things? How can I remember the nature, what to ask, and even the points? All you need to remember is the Lord's Prayer. Because, remember, all these things come together in the Lord's Prayer. Okay? We have seen how in the Lord's Prayer, there's an approach with reverence. And then there's having approach reverentially. There's also a submitting to the Lord with humility. And now, there's a pleading with patience. When we submit ourselves to God's will, we bring our pleadings to the Lord sincerely. When you look at your text, there seems to be a very sudden shift in tone. Look at it. The Bible now says, in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Compared to the requests and the petitions of the first two verses, that is verses 9 and 10, this verse or these few verses seems to be very mundane things, very ordinary and temporal things. When you have pleaded for God's kingdom, for God's glory, for God's name, for heavenly things, now suddenly we are brought down to look at just a very temporal and mundane matters. The Christian life is not a life that is compartmentalized. There is not one part that is spiritual and then another part that is physical, and that these two parts are just divided with a great gulf. We are not supposed to live our lives where sometimes we live a spiritual life, sometimes we live a secular life. When I go to work, I put on my secular self. I can talk in a secular way. I can think with a secular mindset. Then when I go to church, I put on a spiritual frame of mind. It is not this kind of life that the Bible teaches us. In fact, you see that there's this harmony and this relationship between eternal, heavenly, and divine things as well as earthly things, as far as a Christian is concerned. Everything that we see, even on earth, it has a spiritual dimension to it. And God is also concerned about these physical things. This is why now, when looking at all these mundane things, ordinary things, remember that God also cares. Having this heavenly view, yesterday we said, having this heavenly view, having gotten a glimpse of the glory of God, of divine things, now let us return to earth to look at this earthly reality with this divine eyesight and this divine view. You know, when a person has an encounter face to face with God, as it were, not, I do not mean literally, but I mean in a sense of scripture where we have a true encounter with God, when we know about Him in His Word, when He speaks to our hearts, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, then the way we live our lives on earth will be different. There will be a transformation. There will be a change. It will affect us. And this is what now we will plead for. We want to pray for. So the Bible says in verses 11 and 12, verse 11 to 13a, with regard to this pleading for the earthly concerns, He says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, although these are earthly concerns, remember and bear in mind, realize that it is viewed with a heavenly perspective. Okay? So, first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to consider and to pray for is to give us this day our daily bread. Actually, the expression "daily" is a very unique word that is only found here in the whole New Testament. And some scholars have tried to understand what this "daily" means. And they tried to search, you know, classical writings and see how they may have used this Greek word. And it's also very unique because they found no classical writings that actually use this Greek word. So this Greek word is used only here in the Bible. In the whole, all the writings of men is only found here, this daily bread. Very interesting. And what this word actually means is that it describes bread for the day that is dawning. The daily carries the idea not only just of today per se, yes, daily, but it also describes, Lord, give us bread for the day that is coming. The day that is tomorrow, the day that is at hand. But do it day by day. And help me to see how you provide this bread day by day. Now, bread is very important for men because bread is the most basic need for men. It is the most basic thing that we need to survive. And now the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, therefore, when you put these thoughts together, that we are supposed to focus on our basic needs one day at a time. Now, you put this together with Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. You remember what Matthew chapter 6, verse 34? There the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to pray for your daily bread. Of course, immediately the question in our mind is, how can we pray for our daily bread if we don't think for tomorrow? And so sometimes people will also ask, is it right for Christians to make plans for the future? Because if we don't take thought for the morrow, then can we plan for the future? It's easy to understand when you realize what the Lord Jesus Christ means when he says in verse 34, take no thought. The word take no thought there does not mean don't think about it. It means don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious about it. It doesn't mean that you just remove it from your mind. But it means, while this thing is a reality that you have to deal with, don't be flustered about it. Don't go into a frenzy about these uncertainties that is over something you have no control of. Don't be anxious of tomorrow. But instead of being anxious, therefore, what should we do? This is where the prayer comes in. Lord, provide for us. Instead of being anxious, focus on the Lord. Bring this worry and bring this burden to the Lord in prayer. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Don't worry. Think about your problems and bring it to the Lord in prayer. And ask the Lord to provide for you one day at a time. There's a sense here where this give us this day tells us also to not be overburdened by things that we have no control of. You know why the Lord Jesus Christ told us to just focus on this day? Because the burdens for the day, it is already heavy enough for our small shoulders to carry. Some people, when they try to foresee the future, the year is coming to an end. What are your plans for next year? Have you started planning already for next year? What will your resolves be? Then you start to plan for the following year, which school you will go to. You plan, and then you look at which job you will take in the future. At the same time, you see how everything in this world is changing and running so fast. Can you keep up with it? Sometimes when you try to look into the future, you feel overwhelmed. Now, when I sometimes think of what is ahead, next year, if God willing, I want to graduate, I have to write my thesis. I have not started yet. So how? I hope Dr. Koo don't hear this. But I've thought about it. Okay, disclaimer. I've thought about it, but I've not started writing it yet. So how? Then yeah, I still have this camp, and then next week I have another camp, and then following week I have still morning messages, and then still have Sunday ministry and all these things. How to carry all this? And then I think of this message that I have to prepare, and that message I have to prepare, and then this thing that I have to do, and that thing I have to do. And I still have my responsibility as a child to my parents, as a brother to a sister. Some of you may have responsibility as parents to your child, and husband to wife, wife to husband. All these things that you have to carry, then your studies, your exams. When you think about what you have to do for next year and the year ahead, how it overwhelms you. Because you're not just thinking about the exams that you have tomorrow. You're thinking about the exams you may have next year. Oh, what is the exams going to be like? I wonder, next year, night class revelations, what will the exam format be like? You start thinking, is it going to be fill in the blanks, multiple choice, true or false, essay question? And I remember last time when I took Varen Quek's paper, we have to rush, we needed every minute to just complete these exams. Ayo, so difficult to take revelations. Then, after that, falling semester, what will it be? You think about all these things, and then it overwhelms you. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ, in His wisdom, told us, pray, ask the Lord to provide for your daily bread this day. Think just about the burdens that you have to carry this day. The Bible tells us, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have enough to worry for today. Yes, you plan. Yes, you think ahead, but entrust it to the Lord. Because do you know about tomorrow? Can you control the future? How do you even know that we will have tomorrow? So entrust the future to the Lord. You plan, you think. When you plan and you think for your children, parents, sometimes they get so anxious. And when they get so anxious, this is how so burdened they feel. Because how will my child grow up to be? Will my child be successful? What will happen to my child when I'm gone? I better start saving up for my child. I better start preparing for the future of my child. We start doing all these things and then we grow so anxious. We grow so worried. And this is why our spiritual walk with God is affected. Is it not the reason why sometimes we are so obsessed over our children? Our communion and fellowship with God is so badly affected. Take no thought for the morrow. Then some of you say, okay, I don't take thought for the morrow. Does that lead to procrastination? Well, then, 2 Thessalonians. There, in chapter 3, Apostle Paul tells us that if any man does not work, neither shall he eat. The Lord Jesus Christ is not teaching us to procrastinate and to be irresponsible. But we have to be responsible by entrusting it to the Lord. It is irresponsible if you take all these things under your care and you think that you have to micromanage everything and to fulfill all your responsibilities on your own. That is irresponsibility. If you think that you can control your child's life on your own, if you think that you can direct him in such a way, then his life will be shaped and nurtured to such a way, then that is irresponsibility. When you entrust all things to the Lord, that is responsibility. Those who do not do this, they depend on themselves, that is irresponsibility. How you pray, or rather, how much you pray, will reflect this understanding. Do you realize that? Because this is actually a cry of a basic need. It is a basic attitude of trust in the Lord. It is where a person humbly acknowledges that even on the most basic level, I need God. I just need God even for just to survive, to have breath in my nostrils, to have life. I need God on the most basic level. And this is why I pray. How much you pray will reflect how much you think you need God. If a Christian does not pray, he's really telling God. But even though he may deny it, even though he may say, I will not say something like that, but even though if a Christian does not pray, he's really telling God that he does not need God. He is his own God. Give us this day our daily bread. Plead with patience. You know, some feels embarrassed. They say that, is God willing to listen to all these temporal and worldly things? Or not worldly as in fleshly, but rather earthly things. Is God willing to listen? You know, when you put it together with adoring of God, approaching with reverence, when you put it together with submitting with humility, then when you bring this to the Lord, it is already in the right perspective. Do you realize that? You have already aligned yourself with God's will. Submitting humbly to God's working. And when you bring all these personal things, God is willing and ready to answer and listen. But then some say, but my words, I do not know how to express myself. It is filled with weakness. Give us this day our daily bread. Even in that weakness, bring it to the Lord. And the Lord is willing to hear. the Lord is willing to listen. In all things, you know, this is the wonderful thing. Even in our struggles with prayer, sometimes we don't have to make everything right first before we pray. Sometimes we just have to pray and trust the Lord to be in control of all things. Then the Lord Jesus Christ goes on now to tell us, pray also that God will forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is the struggle that we face when we live as children. We recognize our spiritual poverty. And the Bible tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit. But here there's a cry where this child of God recognizes his own spiritual emptiness without God. And he needs to depend on God's forgiveness and God's forgiving love all the time. Lord, forgive our debts. But together with this, then there's also a desire to live out a faith that works, because he immediately goes on to say, as we forgive our debtors, there is this faith that is willing to work. There's this human responsibility as well, where we want to fulfill our relationship with one another. When we pray, this prayer reflects our true state of mind and our true attitude of heart. How you treat others. How you treat others and how you relate to them actually reflects how sincere you are in this prayer. Do you realize that? Because the Bible tells us that if you have experienced the forgiveness of God, then how you treat others will also be with this forgiving spirit. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say from verse 14 as he instructed the disciples on forgiveness. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Your forgiving spirit reflects your state of mind, your attitude of heart, whether you have truly understood God's forgiving love. If you have, you will be moved to forgive others as well. Pray that God will forgive you of your sins, at the same time that you will learn also to forgive others. Now, where this is placed is also interesting. Now, yesterday there was a question during the Q&A where someone asked, if we do not confess our sins, will God hear us? Then I'd like to ask a question. Do you think God has heard the first part of our prayers before we pray this prayer of forgiveness of sin? I mean, of course, because this is the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer. The point is, it's not a legalistic thing. It's not a mechanical thing. Where if I do not confess my sins, then the first part of this prayer, God has not heard me. Then now I confess my sins, then God will hear me from this part on. I better repeat those parts which I did not pray before I confess my sins, right? No, it's not a legalistic thing. It's not a mechanical thing. It's this whole attitude and realization that even in prayer, you are spiritually needy. You are totally depraved without God. And you acknowledge Him to be the one who can fulfill all your spiritual needs. So when you come to God with this attitude, with this realization, even though sometimes you may not mouth it in so many words, you have that attitude in mind. When you just say, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. That is already in itself a reflection of your true heart, your true thought. Of course, that is assuming you have such an attitude. You have such a desire and acknowledging of your sins. But some, they may mouth these words, which the Lord rebukes and the Lord condemns many times, such as in the book of Micah, where some have these words, they have the forms where they offer up sacrifices, but their hearts is filled with hypocrisy. And one of the ways where hypocrisy is shown is in how they treat others. The Bible often condemns those who bring their sacrifices unto the Lord, and immediately their hands will go on to shed blood. This is hypocrisy. So if you have this true spirit and attitude and realization, the Lord hears your prayers. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. In all the commands that we have seen so far, okay, hallowed be thy name is a command. It's written in the command form. So your prayer to the Lord, Lord, let thy name be hallowed. Hallowed be thy name is a command. Thy kingdom come is a command. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a command. Give is also a command. Forgive is also a command. All these are written in the command form, but suddenly, verse 13, lead us not into temptation is not a command. Okay? And then deliver becomes a command again. So, suddenly, only just this one, where lead us not into temptation, is not written in the form of a command. Interestingly. Of course, there's a sense where all these commands suggest to us that there can be a boldness and confidence in prayer. Right? Not arrogance, but there's a boldness, there's a confidence in prayer. Where we can plead with the Lord and God knows, God sees, God understands. But suddenly, in this, lead us not into temptation. It is not a command. This actually helps us to understand what it means when we pray, lead us not into temptation. Some wonder, does this mean that God can lead a person to sin? Oh, there are several ways in the Bible where prohibition is actually expressed or described. Prohibition means where the Bible says, don't do something. There's one way where the Bible will express it where it means stop doing something. You have been doing it. Now stop it. So sometimes the Bible will express it in that way. Then there's another way where the Bible will express it where you have not started doing it. Don't start doing that thing. Okay, you follow these two ways, right? Now here, the expression is the second kind. Don't start leading us into temptation. In other words, it means that God has not led us into temptation. And this is the petition and the cry of the believer where he says, Lord, do not lead us into temptation. You have not done so. We have not seen you leading us into temptation before. We know you are Almighty God. And we have seen your mercy and your grace. Please don't allow temptation to overwhelm us. Don't allow temptation to overcome us. This does not mean that the Lord leads a person to temptation. Therefore, when you understand this, it just means that this person recognizes and he pleads that the Lord will not allow him to fall into temptation. Okay, the word temptation there has a variety of meanings. In the Bible, sometimes it can be used to describe trials and afflictions. Sometimes it also can be used to describe a temptation that the adversary, Satan, brings about. Sometimes it also can be used to describe a temptation that comes from within ourselves. Okay? Not just a temptation which the devil brings, but a temptation that comes from the lust of our own hearts. So this is how sometimes the word temptation is used. And in this sense here, I believe when this prayer is made, it is therefore a prayer of deliverance. It is not God who leads us into temptation so much. But this prayer is really where the person who prays is praying, Lord, rescue us. Deliver us. Lead us away. Do not allow us to fall into temptations. And some of these temptations can be the trials and the afflictions. And sometimes this can be the adversary, the warfare, and even of ourselves. Lord, deliver us from ourselves. And there's a very true sense where trials and afflictions have a very close relationship with temptations. Because oftentimes, it is when we fall, when we go through trials and temptations, when we go through trials and afflictions, when we also face temptations. There's a temptation to doubt God. There's a temptation to deny God. There's a temptation to question God. Sometimes men will give this excuse. Because I'm going through so much pain. Let me just forget about this pain for a moment. Let me just try to enjoy the world. I just want to forget what I'm going through. It may start with afflictions at first, but the devil knows how to use it to bring in temptations. So in all these things, this prayer and this cry is really, Lord, deliver us from the warfares of this life. Yes, we cannot escape from the warfare, but grant us victory from it. Lord, when I go through temptations that comes of my own lust, it is a difficult struggle, but grant me victory that I can experience thy working power in it. Lead us not into temptations. Deliver us from evil. The word deliver is the word to rescue, right? Carrying on from the idea which the Lord Jesus Christ expressed earlier on, where you now plead that the Lord will deliver you from the evil one, or sometimes it can be used to describe the evil thing. The evil one who brings an evil thing. Pray that the Lord will deliver. Sometimes we don't dare to pray because of our weaknesses. But why? We are afraid to pray because we don't understand so much about prayer. But why? Plead these things before the Lord with patience. And the Lord will answer. Okay? Now, this is the attitude and the expressions that a person has in prayer. Now, what we have looked at thus far are principles, you know, of how a person can express himself in prayer. Remember that earlier on we said that all of us have different experiences that we go through. You know, various intensity of struggle, different kinds of struggle, and how we express ourselves may be different. And it's okay when you follow these principles. We are not just looking at specifics where you must say exactly the same thing, but this is a guide. And when you understand these principles, you can apply this also to your life, your own situation, different circumstances, so that you know how you can express these things before the Lord. And then having pleaded with the Lord, now the Lord tells us that we can come with confidence. In verse 13, part B, where the Bible says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now you acknowledge God as the one who has authority. And then you also acknowledge God as the one who has ability. Kingdom describes God's authority. It describes God's sovereignty. He has the power to rule. Pray, and then having prayed, recognize that God is the one who has full control over all things. God is the one who will grant victory. God is the one who will work in His time. God stands as King. Now, this immediately brings confidence because God now steps in to intervene. How often when we have our burdens, we share these burdens with our friends. It is like sometimes the problems in life are like the pebbles that we carry, the stones. We hold them in our hands, and after a while become so full, we try to put them in our pockets. And then we become full, we take them out, we put them in a bag. Soon you realize that your problems will be one big heavy load that you have to drag. You know that when you share your problems with your friends, although it's good to have a listening ear, you know, it's important to have friends. What we are really doing is we are taking out all these stones, all these pebbles, and we're just describing it to them. We are telling them about the shape. You know, my problems. Today I had faced this. We are telling them about shape. We are telling them about size. Oh, this problem is so big. We are describing the stones and the shapes and the sizes. And after describing all these things, what do we do? Do you know we still have to put them back into our bags and carry it with us? When we talk to our friends, is it not like this? When you share with them, even though they are very good friends, they may give you advice. Sometimes for a moment, you feel comforted. But when you go back, you see reality again. All this heavy load just sinks into your heart again. But when you share with your God, it is not like that. Do you know that? You bring this back before Him. You bring this heavy load and you just leave it at the throne, at the mercy seat, upon His care. When you surrender this heavy load upon Him, He is your sovereign King. He has the authority to intervene in His own time and in His own way. We have experienced how this heavy load rolled away, where the burden of sin, this great problem, and this was the biggest problem we ever carried in life. The burden, the load of sin, and this burden and this load rolled away when we first received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And don't you think that God is still our King today? If He is, then can He also not deal with all this burden and heavy load? Of course, I do not assume to say or presume to think that, yes, we will not struggle. Yes, there may be painful and difficult struggle. But when we close with confidence in such a manner, we commit to the Lord, we are crying unto the Lord, Lord, please intervene. And Lord, we pray You will intervene in Your own time and in Your own way. Help me to see Your intervening hand. And this is what we want. Commit unto the Lord with confidence. What I fear that for many Christians is that sometimes when we pray, we are just like talking to a friend, having described all these problems, we see and we take it upon ourselves to carry this burden back with us. But bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Is that not a hymn? All your anxieties, all your cares, take it to the mercy seat and leave it there. Right? Bring it to the Lord. God is the sovereign King. For thine is the kingdom. And God is the power. You know, there are some people who may have the interest. There are some people who may be concerned, but they have no ability to do anything. God has the authority and God has the ability. He has the power. He has the power to undertake for us. He has the power to work His mighty work. He has the power to change our lives. God has the power. And that's what we have seen already. And then God is the glory. Now this tells us one very important thing about prayer. When we pray, ultimately, it must lead to God's glory. And we want to pray all things for God's glory. This reminds us then, how can we pray for those things which we know does not glorify God? And if we know that we must not do anything without prayer, how can we do anything that we cannot pray for, that if we would pray for, we know cannot glorify God? For example, you know that you have a meal before you, and now with your friends and your colleagues, as you're partaking of this meal, they all drink alcohol. Can you say, I give thanks to God for this meal? Lord, I partake of this food unto Your glory. Bless it to my body. You know you cannot give thanks to God for such a thing. Why do you partake of it? You want to go to the cinema to watch a movie. Can you say, Lord, grant me safety as I journey to watch this movie to entertain my flesh? Grant me an enjoyable time to satisfy my lusts. Can you pray that? Can you pray that to God's glory? If you know that you cannot, then why do you want to watch this movie? Now, I do not say then that there are nothing on earth that we can, that God can give us to enjoy. Recreation sometimes is bodily refreshment. Can we not pray and thank God for these things? We can. Lord, we are going to play this game of football now. Grant us safety. Grant us fellowship. Refresh our bodies. Help us to enjoy ourselves. God desires us to also enjoy in Him. But this is something that we know that we can enjoy, that still can glorify God. But how about those things which we know cannot bring God's glory? Then do we still pray for those things? This actually guides us in prayer. Do you realize that those things where you can pray unto God's glory, you can pray in confidence? It is those things that you cannot pray unto God's glory is where you pray with uncertainty. Lord, grant me good grades in my studies. Why do you want good grades in your studies? because my friends always make fun of me. I just want to show them I'm capable. Is this unto the Lord's glory? Then how can you pray with confidence? Lord, help me to do well in my studies because I've studied hard and I want to be a good student, a testimony for you. Don't you think that this is unto God's glory? And God can hear such a prayer. And this is why you can pray with confidence. You pray with confidence when you pray unto God's glory. Pray for God's glory. Thy will be done. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and then forever. This confidence in our prayer also now comes with an eternal view. The Lord Jesus Christ now, as He closes, He calls upon us to have an eternal view of all things. You see, we look at this world through the lenses of time and space. We are bounded by these limited things. Is this not why sometimes our burdens feel so big? This is not why sometimes we feel like it is the end of the world. We are doomed. It's over. We are dead. No more hope. Because we are bounded by space and time. God is not bounded by space and time. And when we look at the world through God's perspective, with the lenses of eternity, how different we will see everything with eternity's value in view. Do not be bounded by the limited things of this world, but look to eternal and heavenly things. There's a sense where this prayer is very wonderful because we have come one full circle. We have a heavenly mind of things. And then with this heavenly mind, now we deal with all the physical things of this life. We express our human needs with our human emotions through our human struggles. And having expressed all things, we now come back to look at it with a heavenly view. This is this life that a Christian can enjoy. We are citizens of heaven while we are still living on earth. And all things commit unto the Lord in prayer. Now, I hope that this message has taught us how we can learn to express ourselves in prayer. How we can learn to bring our petitions, all that we have understood in the past few days, to God in prayer. Are there things that you have forgotten? Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Things you still do not understand about prayer, the mysteries of prayer, take it to the Lord in prayer. The inability to pray, the feeling of not wanting to pray, take it to the Lord in prayer. And there are so many more things that we can learn about prayer. 650 prayers, at least in the Bible. Even if you do them one prayer a week, 1 year you also cannot finish it. You need at least 10 years. So many more things to learn about prayer. Oh, but the Lord's Prayer here, it has put together what we have learned. And by God's grace, I hope it will help us, teach us to express the attitude, the nature, what you expect in prayer, that God will answer, the practice of prayer, the realities of prayer, all these things is now expressed in words. It may not necessarily have to be expressed in words, but from your heart. Lord, teach us to pray. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this wonderful pattern of prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us. How we ought to approach Thee, how we can approach Thee, how we must humbly submit ourselves before Thee, how we can come and bring all things in our hearts unto Thee in prayer. And having done so, now to commit all to Thee, to trust Thee. Father, we thank Thee for these lessons that we have learned in prayer. Indeed, this is such a wonderful gift and privilege. It's an honor that You have given us this means of communication with Thee, of communion and fellowship. O Lord, teach us to pray. And we pray for some who are still struggling in their own ways and even just to find time to pray, are struggling with their own fears and doubts, please teach us to pray. We have entrusted all these things unto Thee, and we know that Thou hast heard us. Continue to bless this camp and grant us a fruitful time, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.